Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Michael Walliser, 181-344.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your committee supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Louis Jones, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, Honorable Gail Littenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead this morning. Also in the room, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
Okay.
Prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay, on that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf. We'll obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm going to be representing myself.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Turner in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do so firm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
The hearing will be conducted in two phases this morning, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, I am going to read the three allegations that are on your warrant, sir. After each one, I'm going to ask you if it's true, false, or if you wish to plead the fifth. The fifth is due to the fact there is a departmental report number showing on your warrant indicating there may be some charges pending. If there are any pending, this hearing is recorded as public information, and so the recording could be used in a court of law in an action against you. So we offer you that that protection of pleading the fifth. Okay, do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Allegation number one, violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulting behavior on or about March 20th, 2018 at 4419 East Cerrada del Charro, Tucson, Arizona. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
That is true, but along with all of my court charges, they were all dismissed, I believe, on the 30th of last month.
Okay, well, the way these hearings go, we'll follow through with all three, and then hopefully Mr. Turner will have that information about the charges, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so allegation number two, violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number five, has been created by his failure to report contact with a law enforcement agency to your assigned parole officer on or about March 20th, 2018. That one, true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
I did not speak to him personally, but I did call him and leave a voicemail on his, I believe it's his cell phone he uses.
Okay, so are you saying it's false, or is it?
I don't know how to state that because I didn't speak to him personally, but I did leave a voicemail through the parole office.
Okay. I believe the conditions are that you have to talk to somebody in person, whether it be your parole officer or the duty officer.
Okay.
So, but it's still up to you. I want to answer true, false, or do you want to plead the fifth?
I'll just plead the fifth on that because like I said, I didn't speak to him personally, but I did leave voicemail.
Okay. We'll discuss a little bit further in phase two. Okay, allegation number three is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number two is demonstrated by your failure to report in person for a face-to-face office visit on April 12, 2018 as verbally directed on March 15, 2018. So you were a little bit unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. And because that one doesn't involve that case, I'm just going to ask, is it true or false, sir?
That was true, but again, I just moved into Old Pueblo Community Emergency Services on the 10th, and I did contact him, my parole officer John March, I did contact him concerning my new address.
Okay, well, we'll make those, let you have ample opportunity to explain it all in phase two, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
So technically, yes, that is true. I did did not show up at his office on the 12th.
Okay.
2 days later.
Okay, Mr. Turner, would you read the information about allegation two, please?
Yes, allegation number two. On 3/20/2018, offender Wallacer, ADC number 181-344, had contact with Pima County Sheriff's Department in reference to an aggravated assault slash domestic violence investigation. Offender was arrested by Pima County Sheriff's Department and was booked into the Pima County Jail for aggravated assault domestic violence. Offender was released on his promise to appear. Offender failed to contact his parole and report his arrest.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, so at this point, based on the admissions of Mr. Wallacer on allegation one and three, and the information from the Department of Corrections and the warrant on allegation number two, I'm going to find that Mr. Wallacer was delinquent and has violated terms of condition of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree, but I would note that we cannot discuss allegation number two because he pleaded guilty. So he cannot discuss number two, and we cannot discuss number two.
Okay. And it was seconded by Ms. Williams.
Yes.
I agree.
And agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Jones. Okay, so we're moving to phase two in a couple of minutes, but before we do, we're going to get some background information from Mr. Turner, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, stand the phone, I'll get right back with you. Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Wallacer was released from ADC custody on 12/11/2017 and arrested on 4/25/2018 by Tucson PD. Shows he had pending misdemeanor charges of possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Was returned back to ADC custody on 4/30/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 7/24/2019 with 13 abscond days. Current conviction, 2003, burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2003, commitment A, count two, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2003, commitment B, count one, burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 2006, commitment C, count one, burglary, second degree, 11 years, 3 months. This is his second term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 5.4, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, extortion, threatening with harm, physical assault, assault on staff, tampering with a security device, and criminal damage noted. Other arrests. 1995, burglary, third degree, New Hampshire, felony conviction, state prison. He has a GB score of G5, B6. Status of charges, notified per Tucson City Court. Both charges were dismissed by the prosecutor's office.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Rogers, we're going to go over a summary of your case supervision. Looks like originally when you were released, you didn't have an approved placement, but then you were approved to live at Primavera Men's Shelter at 200 East Benson Highway in Tucson. Then on January 4, 2018, you exited Primavera, and upon exiting Primavera, you were approved to reside at Set Free Church, which was 2706 North Church Street in Tucson, Arizona. Then, on February 21st, 2018, you were approved to reside at 4419 East Cerrado del Charro in Tucson, Arizona. Then on March 20th, 2018, your address of 4419 East Cerrado del Charro in Tucson, Arizona changed as you were exited by your sponsor and Pima County Sheriff's Department. So you would just settled in there at the 4419 East Cerrado del Charro when all this happened with your arrest, sir?
No, I was not actually residing there. I only stayed with them a couple of days. It was a married couple, and they were somebody I met through the law on terror services.
Oh, okay, so you haven't quite gotten that far when you got arrested?
No, I didn't even really know the people.
Okay, so did you have any employment while you were out, sir?
I was trying to get all that, but due to the fact that I have charges for second-degree burglary theft charges, I couldn't get anybody to accept me for employment at the short amount of time I was trying. I was focusing more on doing my anger management, staying totally clean and sober, because I've been clean and sober since August 15, 2006, when I caught the last burglary charge, doing healthy relationship programming and parenting classes through the La Fronteras.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed that you were assigned a task, and you had your color was called three times and they were all negative. So congratulations on that, and that shows that you were the La Frontera Behavior Health Services for anger management.
Yes, I was only asked to do that 16 to 18 times, and I, in that short amount of time, the 4.5 months or whatever it was I was out, I had completed way more courses than 18 classes for the anger management. I was doing that 2 to 3 times a week.
Well, that's very good. It says under sanction that it's talking about that you were staffed by SPO Settles for an allegation that you were making threats against staff at Set Free Church. You were issued a verbal reprimand and directed to Task Laboratories in Tucson for your analysis, which apparently, let's see, that's one of the ones that's on the list as being negative. So, what happened at the Set Free Church?
That was, they had just approved somebody new for their in-house manager. They have a pit bull there named Brutus. It was about 4:30 in the morning. The manager was sitting at the table in the kitchen. I was wearing shorts and trying to wash some dishes. The pit bull kept licking the back of my leg, and I tapped him on the nose. The manager got up and slammed me against the wall and said, "Don't you be hitting a dog like that." And it turned into a little argument. Him and I settled the argument, and then one of the other gentlemen that was residing there that had been there for a few years, to my understanding, he said he just spoke to the outside manager, and that manager was telling me I had to roll my stuff up and leave, or they were to call 911. I had my cell phone. I rolled all my stuff up peacefully. I stepped outside their gates, and when I was in the middle of the street, I actually called the outside manager, asking him if he just spoke to the gentleman, Jeff, who said he just talked to him. He said he did not, and asked me if I wanted him to come and make a big scene out of it. I told him I was not interested in doing that because I was on parole and he knew my whole situation, and I was not interested in creating any problems.
Okay. And apparently you got that straightened out with SPO Settles. So that was... your appeal must have been understanding of the thing the way it reads here, so we got that out of the way. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time, sir. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Walser, you indicated that the first allegation was true, that you had engaged in physically assaultive behavior at Cerrada del Charro, that address. What happened?
The gentleman and I got into a little argument, so to speak. He was trying to get me to leave immediately for some reason. Him and his wife were gone. They would let me sit in the house while they were gone. They have their children were in DCFS, and they went for a meeting with them. When they came back, them two were arguing. He came in. Him and I got into a little, I guess, negative discussion about the whole situation. He's like, "Look, I'm just going to throw your stuff in the back of my Land Rover. I'm going to take you, and I'll even pay for a hotel through my credit cards and all that." I didn't want to see that happen. He slammed me against the wall. I walked out. It wasn't nothing violent. He just like kind of pushed me up against the wall. Said, "No, I'm going to take you to a hotel." I walked out the door trying to leave. He came out, slammed me against his Land Rover. It twisted my ankle pretty bad. And I didn't punch him like it says in that report. It says I close-fisted punched him once. I didn't do that. I just backhanded him. and then I was trying to leave, but I couldn't walk away. That's why I sat there till the police showed up. And the reason I even missed the court date that I was released by the Pima County on my personal recognizance, I missed the court date on the 4th, is because I had to do a 4-day inpatient treatment at St. Mary's Hospital. Due to the infection in my ankle from that whole incident, they had to put IVs through my arteries and in my IVs through for 3 days due to the massive infection in my left ankle, like I said, as a result of that whole thing.
Okay, and what was, how much of your anger management coursework had you completed at this point? This is March 20th, I think this happened.
Like I said, John March was saying he only needed me to complete 16 or 18 courses. I'd done way more than that because I started doing the La Frontera thing almost immediately when I got released back in December. And I was doing, like I said, I was doing 2, sometimes 3 anger managements a week. So I probably completed at least 30 of those.
And that wasn't able to help you in that situation?
Well, my biggest problem is here in DOC, I've been in this Arizona DOC back since 2003, and they have medical records here to prove it that I didn't have seizures, start having grand mal seizures until 2007 here in DOC, and I've been seizing all throughout the 11 years I've been here in DOC. In fact, I just seized again last night. I had x-rays yesterday because in the last 8 days, I've had 4 massive seizures. I've been out to, right before I left, out on parole in December. I believe it was back in November, they did at Banner Samaritan, they did a 3-day EEG scans and all that to 100% confirm that I have epileptic disorder up above my right ear. They believe it's because due to a bunch of surgeries back in 03, upon coming in DOC here in Arizona, I have diverticulosis and my guts exploded. I was in a coma for 5 days on life support. The first surgery and the second surgery, I was in a coma on life support for 3 days. And they think that's probably the reason I started having a massive seizure disorder.
Okay, sir.
But I have been sent out to 4 different neurologists. The first 3 just did MRIs and couldn't figure it out. And it's all recorded here in DOC.
Certainly, it's a good thing that you've been sober since 2006, then.
Yes.
That's a very good thing, so.
Even with all of my disciplinary assaults on staff and all that, it's just pretty simple assaults and stuff like that, but it's all due to my seizure disorder and the medication that they had me on. I've tried massive different amounts of medications, and they're not really doing much for my seizure. That's why they sent me out to 4 different neurologists.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Any other questions? No, Mr. Kamal.
I just have more of a clarification from our community corrections officer, not Mr. Wallace, sir. When you read the case summary, Mr. Turner,
yes.
What did you state that his arrest was for?
When he was arrested by Tucson PD?
Yes.
Yeah, possession of marijuana.
It was possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia.
Okay, so that's not part of this then. Of our 3 our 3 allegations on this warrant arrest.
Domestic violence, I believe it was a separate case.
Yes, okay. I just thought maybe I had written that down wrong because everything seemed to be revolving around a DV that was dropped, but I wasn't sure what happened with marijuana and drug paraphernalia. So.
The drug paraphernalia and the possession of marijuana was, I believe, was dismissed by the county attorney.
Okay, so they were both dismissed.
Yeah, it was dismissed by the prosecutor's office.
Okay. I just wanted clarification on that. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Turner?
Yeah, I'd like to read a couple of notes from the OMS. On 3/26/18, this officer received notification from sponsor Kelly Howard and her husband. The offender assaulted her and husband. On 3/20, offender was arrested on 3/20 by Pima County Sheriff's Department for the domestic violence, which we know. He was cited, released, with a promise to appear. That was on the 26th that he received that information. Let me go back. On 3/29, this officer attempted to contact offender by phone. By phone on the offender's phone would not accept voicemail. Records checked with Pima County Jail, local shelters. Emergency contacts was completed. All attempts were met with negative results. The whereabouts are unknown in the community. Then on 4/9, received notification offender left St. Mary's Hospital on 4/6/18. Offender's whereabouts are still unknown in the community. And then on 4/18, offender filed a report for his face-to-face contact visit on 4/12/18. Is verbally directed on 3/15. On 4/17, a final follow-up was completed with records Pima County Jail, Locals Hospital, St. Mary's. Emergency contact, all attempts were met with negative results. So basically, at the point that he had the domestic violence and left that residence, there was no contact with the PO.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there any other questions from the board? Mr. Walser, we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination in a few minutes. We'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you would like to. Give us any further information you think might be of relevance to our decision. We just ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us. So we'd like you to stay on the phone and remain silent, and you can hear the entire discussion once we get that to that point. So is there a final statement you'd like to make right now, sir?
I would just like to make a couple comments concerning the 3/29 where John March, my parole officer, tried to contact me and my phone would not go to voicemail. It's because I was had a seizure on the streets because I was walking homeless and my phone ended up getting stolen by somebody or I lost it or something during that seizure. I had my phone disconnected. That's why I wouldn't go to voicemail. And as far as the possession of marijuana and the possession of paraphernalia, that was dismissed because I had a medical marijuana card, the approval, all that stuff. That's why I had the possession of that for my seizure disorder.
Pardon me, sir.
And on, I believe it was on 4/30, I was given paperwork by legal personnel here that was letting me know that, I take that back, I received it in the mail that let me know that my attorney, whoever was appointed for the case, had the assault, the missing, the failure to appear at the court date, and all the marijuana charges dismissed through the courts.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we will be going into discussion, so now the phone that remains silent, and we'll be back with you in a couple minutes, okay?
Thank you.
All right, where's non-discussion? This is somewhat of an unusual case. I know that Mr. Walser is apparently struggling with epileptic seizures, but some of the actions aren't really supported by that being the, you know, the cause of things. And of course the of scan time. It's not a real long time, but it's long enough to be concerning. And I don't know why he may have not tried to talk to his PO a little bit more. But with the overall, with everything involved here, I just don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time. But I'm willing to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members? Okay, no further discussion. Pardon me, I apologize. Had a big frog in there. Okay, so this time, based on all the information, we're in number 2018W1115. The testimony of Mr. Walser and the information from Department of Corrections and the warrant, I would move to revoke community supervision that Mr. Walser was in delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Ken Lewis.
read by Dr. Wright, Mr. Darnold, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, so the board has voted to revoke their community supervision at this time. We do wish you the best of luck. You might, in the meantime, between now and next July, when you're released, see if you can get some more anger management coursework done. I realize you've gone a while away, and I'm sure your anger management is a lot better than it used to be, but it's also something like AA and NA that you have to continuously be aware of, and it might do you some good. Hopefully they will be able to normalize your prescriptions to help your epilepsy. We really do hope that they can. Maybe that's not anything fun to deal with, and it does cause a lot of problems. But we do wish you the best of luck. Unless you have any specific questions, this will be the end of your hearing. Do you have any questions, sir?
I would like to know if there's any type of appeal to any of that I can hand to my attorneys or any of that, if I was to hire one. This is just curiosity questions, because I wasn't actually absconding. Like I said, I contacted John March 2 days prior to my face-to-face with him and left very serious voicemails, and I even asked him to contact me if he needed me to show up at his office, like I'd done every month and every meeting he needed me to do, and never received anything back from him.
The rules are very strict in the fact that if you have a face-to-face, whether it be set up due to some problems or just from the original schedule, the face-to-face means you have to be there. And
I'm aware of that. My whole
but if you can't be there, you have to talk to your PO or the duty officer in person. You can't just leave phone messages. So
no, I'm aware of that. I was trying to find out if the 12th was the exact date, because I wasn't even sure of it.
Well, and there's really no appeal process for these hearings. Only that if your attorney feels we did something improper in the way we handled it, and that's not really an appeal. We have to send a brief to the court, and they decide whether they're going to get another hearing or not.
Okay, I was just asking out of curiosity, because I've never been in front of a parole board, so I wouldn't know.
Okay, well this is the way it's set up in Arizona. We have sole discretion, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we can decide anything and nobody can do anything about it. And we don't expect everybody to understand all that when they come in here. So, okay, so this is what you're hearing, sir. Could you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?
Yes, I can.
All right, thanks, sir.